Hey, this is Sonic from Astralis. You're listening to The Centering.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of The Centering, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. The date, September 10th, 2019. The time, 8:35 p.m. Episode 174, coming to you live from an undisclosed location. I think I mixed that up. Did I already say that?
I never listened at the beginning. I was zoned out.
It's going to be one of those episodes today, folks. Because old Timmy boy is quite tired, and we'll get to that in a second. But like I said, this will be the best episode ever. We got some Overwatch League playoffs to get to. We have the Berlin Major wrapped up. We're a little behind on that, but we got to talk about it. Lots to get to there. We will have our yikes of the week. Moments of the week that made us just go, yikes. So we'll talk about that, and then of course we'll end the show with e-news, as we always do. Before that, make sure you go and follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring. You can join our Discord via the link in the profile there, be a part of the conversation. Our website, tcr.gg, currently down. I'm trying to figure out how to migrate hosts and all that, but just haven't had time. So that will eventually be back up, but for now, Twitter's the place to go if you need information on the show and all that fun stuff there. My name is Tim. Hello. How are you? I'll be your captain for this journey into esports. Alongside me, as always, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
What's up, Dad?
That's right.
That's right.
Still very weird. So if you don't follow us on Twitter, which I'm sure you do, because who doesn't? we also have Phil in Twitch chat. So what's up, Phil? Which you could also be in Twitch chat because we always stream every episode. But that's besides the point. So over the weekend, if you follow us on Twitter, you would realize why this episode is a little delayed. We typically record on Sundays. It's now Tuesday. I think it's Tuesday. I'm not 100% sure. But I finally had the baby. So I am now officially a dad. We thought we got rid of all the dads on the show when we fired Brett, but doesn't seem to be the case.
We found a way to replace him.
Found a way. Okay. Yep. So I am now a dad. My wife had our child over the weekend. So obviously I couldn't really... I asked her. I was like, hey, can I go home and record? Are you good? The baby's here. Are you good? And she's cool, but not that cool. So I had to delay it. We got home yesterday from the hospital. We were there for 3 nights.
A long time.
Well, so she went, I'll kind of tell the story, is on Thursday, she went in to, because she was already late. Like, we were due on Monday. So they were like, all right, we'll come in on Thursday. We'll do like a checkup, right? See where it's at. They measured the baby at like 9 pounds. And that can go up or down. You know, it's not an exact science. So they're like, it could be like a 10-pound baby. It could be an 8-pound baby. It's going to be
around. Is this like heavy? Or is
that
heavy?
That's heavy. Yeah, that's a big baby. So they were like, we got to get you in. We're just going to preemptively schedule you for Thursday night to go in, be omitted and do all that. And then on Friday, we'll induce you. So we go do the checkup at like 4. Well, they call us while we're there saying, hey, we got to push you back for tonight. We can't have you in here. We can't induce you because we're full. We're all booked up. So we're like, oh, damn it. All right, fine. So we went home. And at this point, we're on call. Like, they could call us at any moment. 6 in the afternoon, 10 o'clock at night, 2 in the morning, doesn't matter. And in fact, they did call us at 4 in the morning to let us know that they're still waiting for people to clear out.
Oh, that was nice of them.
Thanks
wake
for
up
the heads
call.
Up,
appreciate that. Yeah.
Because I think the original, they said like 6 o'clock. So they're like, yeah, it's not going to happen. So at that point, you don't really get much sleep then, right? Because you're just waiting for the call to know when you're going to go in. So they called us, I think, around like 10 o'clock in the morning Friday, which was still pretty good. That wasn't bad. So we were in the hospital from 10 a.m. Friday until like 1 o'clock Monday.
Yeah.
It's a long time. So wife was in like active labor for like 37 hours and in like hardcore like movie labor, like, you know, where you see in the movies where they're like, push, dad, for like an hour and a half. So
he's obviously an Overwatch League fan and not a CS fan. Couldn't think worse timing, could he?
Yeah, so it was an adventure. It's crazy. It's much like when Anuj and I are both married. But it's like when we got married, you know, I thought it was weird because, and anyone who's been married could probably relate, you end up adding vocabulary into your life that you never really used before. Like calling your wife your wife, or like talking to other, yeah, this is my wife, or I'll sign for my wife, or, you know, it's just weird. And it's the same thing like having a kid. Like today, the doctor called and was like, hey, are you, his name's Shepherd, by the way, are you Shepherd's dad? Is this Shepherd's dad? And like my initial instinct was like, who the hell are you talking about? Like, no, stop calling me. And then I was like, oh, that's me. Like I am a dad. You're right. So it's really weird that people don't even call. I've already lost my name. I'm no longer Tim. I'm just Shepherd's dad to Chef's a lot of people. Dad. They don't care about me. They just need me for
the most important question. And I've heard from millions of viewers on this at this point. Were you north of the border or south of the border during this adventure?
Oh, I was Canada. I was so far Canada. North. I was so far north of the border.
Never went into Brazil or anything like
no,
that. Like just stay.
No. Never flew down south to see what the weather was like.
All right,
I was Siberia, north of the border. You know, so it was actually, so I, for the long, so first off, I did not cut the cord. And I know, like, I joked about this with all of you off the show, like, there was absolutely no way I was cutting the cord. And, like, before it all started, the doctor asked, like, hey, game plan, right? Like, you gonna cut it? And I was like, no. And he's like, you sure? It's kind of a big, like, dads like to do it. Absolutely not, dude. Like, look at me. What about me makes you think I'm capable of doing some medical procedure of cutting the cord? Like, I know everyone does it. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. You know, like, I enjoy hot dogs. I don't like seeing how they're made. Okay? If you show me how the baby's made, not going to like it. Just I'll let you worry about it. But still, even when you're up top, you hear so much. And you do kind of, you know, like I had to help hold her legs. So there was, like, three nurses. One was obviously, like, you know, in catcher position. And the other one was like monitoring monitors. Yeah. And then, so one was holding her right leg. I had to hold her left leg. Just like help her hold it up as she's pushing. And look, everyone was like, look, Tim, it's a beautiful moment. Just wait till it's your child. It's beautiful. Still waiting on that beautiful moment, Anuj. I'm still waiting on the beautiful moment.
Now you're the child. The child is a beautiful moment, at least for you.
There was so much bodily fluid that I didn't even know existed. It was so much. It was a lot, dude. It was right, a lot. So, but it's crazy because it's like there's like three nurses right in the room, and then, you know, you're like, hey, where's the doctor? And they're like, oh, we'll call the doctor when it's like go time, right? Like,
yeah,
when he is here. And so they call the doctor, and like within moments, like 10 people run in because you have the NICU nurses there just in case. Yeah. There's like three of them. You have the cleanup crew, which is there, the doctor, the other three nurses. I mean, it turns intense to a party real quick, real quick. So
well, congrats, dude.
Thank
we're
you.
All happy
thank
for you.
Yes, we're like 3 days into it and I'm exhausted. There are going to be moments of this episode where I make no sense, I'm sure. I'm very tired. I chugged a Rockstar energy drink, no free sponsor shout out, thinking it was going to help. I ended up crashing and took like an hour nap until you called. So But I really wanted to get the episode done. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm tired. I've learned that I'm bad at taking naps, which is not good, by the way, for like a new father. Like everyone tells you, sleep when the baby's sleeping, but my brain is saying the baby is sleeping. I need to go get things done. Like that's when I need to run to the store while my wife can watch them, or, you know, thank God my mother-in-law is here to help out. But I'm bad at that until it's too late. And then I'm like, oh no, I should have been exhausted. Sleeping. Like I am quite exhausted now. It's like,
well, Dream
Hack.
We made it.
Like, you know, like at DreamHack, we're gaming all night and day and you're feeling good until you're like, all right, I think I'm going to go take a break. I'm going to go watch some Rocket League or something. And then you go and get up and you take like within 5 minutes, you're like, uh-oh, like I'm
exhausted.
I'm toast. I'm ready to go to bed. It's the same. Honestly, it's like the same feeling from DreamHack, where it's just like
the zombie mode.
Yeah. So it's an adventure, though. It's an adventure. I hear that the first 2 weeks are really the rough times. And then like he kind of starts getting on a sleeping schedule. So looking forward to that. But for now, we're getting through it. We're getting through it. It's exciting, though, for sure. Let's get to the show, though, shall we? That's enough about my personal life. We got esports to get to. I don't think the listeners care about my misery.
Some of us love to hear about it.
No, you want my misery? Like within, like, because he was here on Saturday, so Sunday football started. So I was like, oh, get to watch a Lions game with my son for the first time. Well, they gave him the Detroit Lions show. Gave him like, hey, buddy, welcome to being a Lions fan. Get used to it. As they botch an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter to tie it. What a joke.
Uncle Anuj will show him the right way. Be like, that's right. First game, Cowboys won, 35-7.
Yeah, dominated, man. Football's back. Football's back. And you know what comes with football, Anuj? Betting and gambling. And you know where you can do all of that and bet on esports at the same time? That'd be Thrive Fantasy. You could download the app, Thrive, Thrive, out of your app store on your respective platform. Use the code TCR at sign up. When you put in your $10, you will get $10 for free. If you do the math real quick, that means you will have $20 to bet on. And that can go a long way with Thrive Fantasy because you'll win millions. I'm talking Crimsix Porsche money over here. All right? Download it again. That's Thrive Fantasy. Use the code TCR. Sign up. Do it right now. But always be sure and gamble responsibly. Or don't. I don't really care. It's your money. YOLO. Let's talk about this Berlin Major, if you don't mind. I was able to catch most of it over the weekend. Honestly, I was able to catch all of it up until the major, up until the finals. That's mainly because, A, like I said, I was sort of busy. Also, B, didn't really care. Didn't really you care only, for the finals.
You only needed about 30 minutes of free time if you wanted to catch the whole thing. You can watch a 10-minute VOD and run through the whole thing right now.
Highlights are just as fast as the
it was quick.
Just as fast as the actual match itself. I guess let's talk about it here. How do you want to do it? Just kind of go from the quarterfinals up?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about my gold coin. I picked everything perfect. Didn't miss a single game throughout the whole quarter to the finals. This is exactly what I thought was going to happen.
Except for every gold doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, yeah, diamond.
Diamond. You can't even lie correctly.
Oh man, brutal.
What did you end up brutal, with? Did you end up with a gold coin or like what?
I got a gold coin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. So you wanted diamond.
I missed basically everything from the quarters onwards. I mean, like I don't even want to talk about Counter-Strike anymore. Kind of expert.
Kind yeah, look, I don't even, level I think we said it last week too, like here. Predictions only make everyone look foolish. Like if you get predictions right, you seem very proud of yourself. But at the end of the day, you really had no idea and you were just guessing. You know, it can make a stupid man look like a genius, but everyone ends up looking like a fool.
One major Thorn went 0-7 and everyone's like, you don't know anything about Counter-Strike.
Right.
It's like, I want to watch who you're talking to there.
Right. So starting off, you had Ents and Renegades. That was supposed to be a no-brainer, right? And Renegades ended up taking it 2-0. Ents was out of the major very early on. Now, we talked a little bit about this last week because somebody on Ents, I'm blanking, is are pretty much out. No, Sunny, right? Is it Sunny already announced?
So Alexi B is the one that's being booted, taken off the team, and Sunny is going to be taking his place.
Yes. Yeah. So we kind of already mentioned, like, it's amazing that they're even playing the way that they are, knowing that you already have a roster change right around the corner.
They were playing the best. They were the number one seed going into the playoffs. Right? And it, I mean,
kind of looks like that caught up to them. Like, that mindset looks like it finally caught up to them in the quarters and said, what are we doing? Like, we can't win this time, major.
You don't want to take anything away from what Renegades was able to accomplish, right? I mean, they played incredible. JKS was like a true all-star on this team. He looked like a top 10 level elite talent. But kind of across the board, even like Jakeem and AZR, I mean, these guys were stellar. And it really came out of nowhere, because I remember talking about this going into the major. I didn't think Renegades had much of a chance. I mean, they hadn't looked good. They had an opportunity to boot camp before the major and get prepared. And obviously, that's done wonders for them. But to take out Ents in this fashion, I mean, it was incredibly shocking.
And now it's rumored that like 100 Thieves might be getting the Renegades roster because their contracts are coming up. So you saw some Twitter drama on that. So that might be the team. And now keep in mind, Nadeshot was at the major. And he tweeted out like saying, I'm going there to look for people to sign for his CSGO team. Well, I mean, it's kind of convenient timing that a team that makes it, you know, to the semis, your contract is up. You have 100 Thieves there in the building. He definitely has the money, I would assume, to sign away a Renegades roster or at least outbid them, right, to return to the org. So now...
But that's not going to be the only org fighting for him, right? If that roster is rumored to be like out of contract now, they've dropped out of, DreamHack Masters Malmö? They dropped out of that tournament coming up. So there's obviously a lot of talks about what's happening there. But I think Complexity is also in contention for this roster.
This could be that tier one roster that was talking about.
In my opinion, I wouldn't take, not to knock some of them, but if I was Jason Lake and put myself in his shoes, and I'm telling people that I want to sign a tier one, like best in class team, then I take like the best player off of that team and build with other, what I would consider elite level talent.
You don't have to beat around the bush. Like, Renegades is not tier one. Don't get it twisted. And this is the flaw that I think with the... Maybe they're... Again, we've discussed this, right? It all depends on how your tier system works. Like, if your tier one is your top 10 teams, Renegades is not in there for me, personally. But maybe they're lower tier one. That's besides the point. My point here...
They're tier one, but yeah, they're not one of the elite level teams. You're not going to get consistency out of their... outcomes from tournament to tournament. They might have a great tournament here and there, kind of like we just saw at the major, but you're not going to have like top three placements across the board throughout the year.
Well, and I think with the way the major format is played out, where you have the top eight teams that automatically get invited to the next major, I think it can somewhat fluff or maybe exaggerate some of these teams' placement in the ranking. Where Renegades, you know, throughout the year, you don't really hear from them very often, or at least on a level of beating these top teams, right? But now in the major...
They get the random upset is what you get from
exactly,
them, right?
Exactly, yeah. But in the major, you know, they're automatically invited. They kind of skip one stage, so they have less of a journey to go to. You only have to be hot for such a little amount of time.
And that is a beautiful part of the major, in my opinion, at the same time. Though I do like those... one-off stories. Now, what I would hate to happen is we have six or seven teams that have been put into this position. You're like, these teams are going to either be completely different, or they were already making, you know, roster changes. So we'll see a different lineup. But yeah, it's I'm okay with the random one-off being included, because generally six out of those eight teams are what we would consider elite level teams, right? We're going to get Liquid, we're going to get Astralis, NRG, Vitality. Like, these teams are going to remain really high level, or like, you know, fantastic tier one teams. there is, again, the random throw-in, like Renegades, like Windstrike, you know, it happens from year to year. But it's not a majority of it, so it doesn't bother me a whole lot.
Like I said, it will never happen, but I wish there was a major format change. You know, I wish they kind of went like the Dota route where you had the one major, right? You had your one big tournament of the year, and then other tournaments throughout the year kind of filtered into that. Like, okay, you won this tournament, you get an automatic invite. You know, okay, yeah. Now you've got this many placements. Okay, now you can qualify through this placement tournament or whatever. Like, and that way, you're not getting an automatic invite for something you did a year ago or 6 months ago. And it's not even like, it'd be different if you're like, well, they got an automatic invite from a tournament 6 months ago. Well, but if they won first place in that tournament, it's like, look, they won the tournament. That's why they got the automatic invite. Not, you got eighth place at the major. Therefore, you get an automatic invite to the next one 6 months down the road where you only have to keep, what, is it 3 out of the 5 of your rosters? So it's like,
I think part of it is a security blanket just to make sure that the best teams are continuously in it and you don't see those random upsets too early on. I think part of it allows you to kind of always keep this core of teams, you know, at this point, assuming they keep relevant rosters, but most of them, you know, tend to.
Right.
And you kind of see those stapled teams kind of remain, you know, your Fnatic's, Nips. I know Fnatic's obviously not there now, but you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, Liquid, you get the brands.
It keeps them in there for the most part, so.
You get some recognition going on there. But, I mean, Renegades, I think, kind of favored from that format there. But, you know, you go on to beat Ents. Ents kind of played poorly. So, kind of the perfect storm for Renegade fans.
For Ents, they're praising it a little bit because it saves them with Sunny coming in, right? They had a disappointing exit. It's a bad taste in your mouth now. So with this change happening, it wouldn't
foolish.
Be as upsetting. Yeah, if they like had advanced
the
finals and lost
and replace someone, you look a little dumb. Get blown out in quarters. Okay, now we can make this roster change. Maybe it was all part of their plan. They got to the bigger money rounds and then said, "Let's blow it now." Moving on here, another one, dude. Another one. It's so funny that we said the top half of the bracket was where all your lock predictions are, and yet it ended up being the exact opposite as team, which I guess, you know what, in retrospect, we're kind of dumb. Because had we actually thought about it and talked out loud, we probably should have picked, all right, CSGO name Nazis here. Avangar or Avangar? Because I heard it both ways half a dozen times over the weekend.
I say Avangar. But
I say it Avangar. I feel like some of the Europeans will say Avangar. We need an official ruling here from the team.
Let's so go TCR, ahead and tweet us. TCR will do the vote here.
Yeah, Avangar. Yeah. We'll be, much like everything in esports, we'll be the official word of esports, okay? But Avangar defeated Team Vitality 2-1. Again, Thorin tweeted this out after this, which I was like, Thorin, buddy old pal, let's pump the brakes here. Because he tweeted out after this that we just witnessed the greatest upset in CSGO major history.
I would only say that to me, that's not accurate. I thought Windstrike beating any of those teams that they beat last time to make it as far as they did. Any of them. I don't think Avangar is a bad team. I mean, like, they were playing really well leading into
it. Barely made it to the quarterfinals.
Now, with that being said, yes, we both picked Vitality to advance, but that was a smart pick. Like, that was the money pick, right? It's not like we're trying to give you good betting advice. That's what we're here to do. Don't listen to us. But yeah, it was a smart pick. Like, I mean, they just have the namesake to go with. You know, the talent is obviously there too. But this wasn't, in my mind, we've seen Avangar perform well. Like, it's not like Avangar was playing badly. I think we all saw Jame. Did you go by Jame or Jamie?
Sure, man.
Jame.
Let's make the ruling here again. Voice of esports Jame. On TCR. What are we calling him?
Jame.
Jame. It's official Jame.
Jame. No, I mean, he had been playing lights out throughout the tournament as an opera. He was playing. I mean, he's incredible. He was just so good. Sanji, their young star, stepped up in so many good moments for them. And then they had like Adren's leadership there, which Dren being somebody that's won a major finals before, I think he was MVP of the finals, if I'm not mistaken, I think allowed them to stay focused because they took the first map, then they came back and lost Inferno, right? It wasn't like a clean sweep in this series. Right. They had to battle some adversity. Inferno was the second map. That was what Vitality took. So you think going into Dust 2, in my mind, has like French teams written all over it. They've just been notoriously so good on Dust 2.
But the Dust 2 at this point in CS, dude. Yeah, I mean, it is.
Everybody knows
anyone's map on Dust 2.
Yeah.
If it was my decision, on every decision, like best of threes or any best of games, Dust 2 should always be the final
the
game.
The default.
Like that, you should never be able to veto Dust 2. That should be the last map you play all the time.
That'd be pretty dope. No, yeah, I mean, you think French scenes when you think of Dust 2. And so for them to lose that map, like in my mind, it showed how much Avangard really obviously deserved it. There's obviously a lot going on behind the scenes at Vitality that we're finding out now. I don't think a lot of us, in the sense of common fans, knew, you know, the turmoil that was going on behind the scenes. And so obviously we'll kind of dive into these more next week, but they've announced NBK's departure from the team. He's being benched. And so they're going to be making it's a pretty major change. I mean, NBK went minus 25 in the decider matches here. Significantly worse than anybody else had played. I think personally it's a good change. I think it's a change they will get better from, because I think MBK's role needs to be on a team where he can probably be the IGL. That's the value that he brings for me. Obviously he's a great talent, but he's also a great, like, proven in-game leader. So if he's not doing that, you can get a better firepower player, and Shox is the one to be rumored, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, and you wonder too, like, how long this kind of team drama has been going on eternally, because they were looking so well, you know? Like, it has to be just personalities clashing at this point, because they were kind of playing on the... I mean, they were... People were saying, like, they were a top three team in the world. And now...
The first round of the major where they had dropped one of the BO1s, they didn't have any kinks in their armor. I mean, no. They looked like a real threat to win the whole thing.
Like, did this really start because you played poorly at this? Like, can it really all fall apart that quick? It's a French CSGO team, so I guess the answer is yes it can. Yes, it can fall apart. So
I think there's a little bit of a drama queen thing going on here. I don't want to say who I think is the one in particular.
Are you saying someone on a French CSGO team is a drama queen? We've never seen that from the French scene. What are you talking about?
Once or twice, I think that'd be it. No, yeah, I mean, I think they just
It is so funny DNA. How much the French CSGO hates French CSGO. Like, they have all played with each other at this point and all hate each other.
They've benched one of their teammates before. Yeah. Like, everybody has benched somebody before.
No one is a friend.
There's a lot of bad blood.
No one is friends in French CSGO.
Yeah, so... Anyways, that knocks out Vitality, and then Avangard, obviously, at that point, are advancing to our semis there to face Renegades in the lower half of the bracket. These are where the big boy matchups were in my mind. I mean, these were the matchups I really felt like we were watching the finals here in these next two matchups, and the first one being Astralis Liquid. All the hype built up around this match. So sad. I mean, just so sad on how that turned out. I mean, in the sense of, obviously, I have a rooting interest in Liquid, being an NA fan. I wanted to see Liquid advance, and Liquid had been playing so well. Like, you just, this had to be it.
I mean,
right?
Really,
like,
this was NA's major, right? Like,
it was.
The quarters, I think everyone was saying it was going to be either NRG or Liquid to win it. Like, there was no question that NA was going to be in the finals. Of course, there wasn't that case. Now, I did say maybe 2 months ago at this point that if Liquid did not win the major, all of their 5 winning streak, the Intel Grand Slam, good for you, but it's all for none, because no one's going to care about any of that if you lose the major. I kind of backtracked from that, saying maybe I was being a big jerk, but I want to forward track my backtrack. So now I'm back to where I was. They suck. They're out of my top 10.
Get out. You know what though? Like, I know you're going overboard with it, but I agree with you to a certain extent. I do think the fact that they lost to Astralis, that's what makes it so bad here, right? I mean, if they had lost to another team and Astralis hadn't won the major, let's say, okay, so Astralis doesn't win the major, Liquid loses in the semis or the finals to answer whatever it may be. I might have still been like, okay, well, Liquid's still the best team. They just got taken out by a better team that day. Astralis looked like the better team. I mean, this wasn't of like, oh, Astralis is having a good day, or like, oh man, like, first of all, they screwed them in the map pick. I think they really threw Liquid off because they ended up being the team that picked Vertigo, which was like a really cocky pick because Liquid had played so well on Vertigo, like proven to you know how to play that map. And then with, you know, they picked Liquid picked Astralis for their map, Inferno being the decider map. But
yeah, and that was the big drama, right? Is that like Liquid is saying that was the big thing, is that the pick for Vertigo just threw everyone off. And even like prior, it was really funny again how predictions can just make anyone look stupid, right? That prior to the match, I think it was even Thorin like tweeted out saying something along the lines of like, picking Vertigo was the dumbest thing Astralis could have done. What morons. Yep. And then after the match, like, was like, genius pick to throw Liquid off by picking Vertigo. And knowing Thor, like, to anyone else, like, if I did that, you would know I'm just being tongue-in-cheek, kind of an idiot. But Thorin probably actually thinks he's just that big of a genius for saying something like that.
And now we're making it seem like we hate Thorin. We don't hate Thorin, obviously.
No. But I'm just again, it's just funny how predictions.
His tweets are very reactionary, and they're of course. It's like very fun to follow, especially throughout the major. You're right. I mean, like,
he's the Skip Bayless
so
of esports,
much,
which I don't know if that's a bad thing or not. You know,
no,
Skip Bayless is pretty popular.
Yeah, he. You know, in this case, this was tough to watch because on Vertigo, I think Liquid had to feel pretty confident going into it. I think as did most people for them. It was a close first half. I think second half, it was early on, but Liquid took a round, or Astralis took a round that I don't think they should have taken after one of Liquid's wins. I think they had one win on that side. They just seemed like a different team. Like, they seemed defeated. They didn't look like a team that was playing with confidence. Like, I almost felt like...
That was them the whole major, don't you think, though? Like, it always seemed like they
were a little bit more hesitant. Yeah.
A little shaky, even in like in their post-match interviews. Like, they always just seemed like a little, oh, yeah, we were pretty rough. We got to work on it. We got to get ready for tomorrow. Like, they never seemed
not the
confident.
Same cockiness that you saw in some of their previous tournaments, right? Where NAF or somebody would be on stage and be like, doesn't matter who we're going to play, we're winning this thing. Or, you know, they would say something in cheek and tongue, but still, you knew. They were kind of serious at the same time. Like, they felt like they were going to win.
Yeah. It almost seemed like Astralis. They respected Astralis too much. Like, they gave them too much credit. Like, you don't want to disrespect the opponent by not prepping for them at all, but you also need to find that middle ground and not respect them so much that you almost seem more reactive than proactive.
Yeah, it doesn't help when Device is playing like the best player in the world, right? We talk about how many good players Liquid has. We've mentioned it in the last three or four episodes now that, you know, man, Liquid 1 through 5 are really all-star players, right? Like, everybody on that team is a top 3 or 4 player in their role. Well, there's no difference on Astralis, right? And I think the only X factor is Device is probably the best player on the server, you know, when it comes down to it. If you're going to take one out of that group, maybe Elige is playing the hottest right now, but Device has been the proven, you know, 3-time major winner prior to this one. So he really stepped up. He was really magical in every series throughout the playoffs. He made it look easy. I mean, that was really what it came down to. He won the op battles. Glaive has proven to be the best in-game leader in the world. I mean, I don't know if there's really any way to dispute that at this point. And he's a great fragger, right? That helps. Zipnix, you saw him in a couple of clutch situations, and you just kind of knew, like, it felt like Astralis of old. I think it's safe to say in my mind that Astralis is back. They will take the number one ranking at some point this year. Because they looked so good. I mean, they really looked flawless.
So can we confirm that it was Blast Pro Series' fault? Can we confirm it right here on TCR that Blast Pro was the reason Astralis was tanking?
Maybe Blast Pro is the reason Astralis won because they didn't play in so many tournaments.
Astralis is doing what VP wanted to do. Like, VP wanted to not care in between tournaments. And now, you know, when they went to the major, Virtus Pro tanked and sucked. But Astralis is, like, doing the exact opposite now. And yeah, I tweeted out after the match that in order, in my opinion, to be considered number one in the world, which I know going into the major, Liquid was, I don't really know how much rankings matter when going into a major. I feel like after the major is when it's really established, right?
Ranking's already out, though.
To be the number one, you have to win on the biggest stage at least once, right? Give me one victory. Get to the finals even, right? You could even make a case saying, like, well, you know what? Astralis beat Liquid, but it was in the finals. It was 2-1 or whatever. Then you could at least still make the case that Liquid is still the number one given recent history. But, like, at this point, it's hard for me to still say Liquid's the best in the world. Because although, yeah, you lost to Astralis, who now we are saying is the best again, you have to prove that you can win on the big stage. And it just seems like Liquid still cannot shake the major curse. They cannot get that monkey off their back, dating all the way back from Columbus, it seems like.
Yeah, to the simple days. Yeah, I mean, I agree to a certain extent with Counter-Strike's ranking system, though. It's like tennis rankings, right? Like, it's a point system based on tournaments played, placements, and reoccurring placements in those tournaments, following years, so forth, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I mean, like, it's hard for anybody to say that Astralis is worse than Liquid right now. I mean, I think the rankings indicate what you've done, you know, your body of work throughout the year. So, you know, based on Liquid's recent results, it's hard to say, you know, they don't deserve to be in the conversation for the number one team in the world currently. But yeah, I mean, Astralis, in my mind, I feel like is going to come knocking on that door very soon. You got some big tournaments coming up with all the major teams in there. I mean, you got ESL New York, ESL One New York coming up, and that's not too far away. I think that's what, a week or two away now. So they're gonna have an opportunity to close that gap quickly. But yeah, I mean, I kind of see both sides of it. The ranking system is unique in that sense, but Astralis definitely looks like the bigger brother. That's, you know, not going to go down without a fight. They were dominant throughout the playoffs, and we'll kind of see that going into the next round. The last match of this round was NRG Navi, the only one I think we both got right in terms of picking who was going to advance.
It really was. Yikes. Speaking of yikes of the week.
Right. I mean, for this matchup, again, it kind of confirmed Navi needs to make a change. We're seeing that now, incidentally, obviously, with Zeus retiring, and we'll kind of talk about that in a moment. But for Navi, this was a little bit more of the same. I mean, Simple, unfortunately, was not top fragging or caring, I guess you could say. So they didn't have a chance because there was nobody else that was going to do it in his absence. So at the time, NRG was also playing really well. They looked really good in that series. They looked good leading up to that series. And there was just nothing special that honestly stood out to me. We had a one overtime match on Mirage, ended rather quick. It was in the first overtime, I believe. But yeah, I mean, all in all, I thought NRG would advance in this round. And I'm really excited to now see the next iteration of Navi. This is what excites me for Navi losing here, is them making a change and hopefully bringing somebody like a Guardian or someone back to this roster to help bolster them. So I think this will be a good thing for Navi in the long run. For NRG, I think it was just important to win this series to kind of prove they belonged. You know, getting into the playoffs was already an achievement for them based on, you know, past majors results. I think there was a lot of pressure on them, even though, you know, Tarek and Stanislaw are both new additions to the team. But for NRG, this was just an important victory just so they knew that they had a place, you know, kind of in the top 5-6 teams in the world.
And you mentioned it a second ago that Zeus has announced that he is retiring, coming up after the next Blast. Is it not Los Angeles? No,
Moscow, I think, right?
Yes, Moscow. Yeah. So after that, which is just coming up, I mean, it's this weekend, right? Yeah. So, I mean, he didn't really give a whole lot of a notice for the community as far as, you know, like, hey, appreciate, you know, I'm doing my victory run, my retirement route. So he's done after this weekend.
A cool place for him to retire at, though. Like, that's
of course. Yeah. I mean, it's,
you know, being able to do
CIS
it in Russia.
CIS team and, to end yep. out there and stuff. It definitely makes sense, right? He is doing it in front of a home crowd. But just talk about like a player that's been, I don't know if I want to, I want to say, and I don't know if it's fair, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but very quietly impactful, you know, like he doesn't get talked about as being like one of the top riflers or an opper or anything like that. Like his importance doesn't always show up on the stat sheet, but yet, like, you think back from when Gambit won the major, you know, or not Gambit. Gambit. Yeah, I was right. Mm-hmm. I should trust myself. I doubted my baby brain right now. When they won the major, like, a lot of people said, like, it was kind of, and even a lot of the players gave him credit. Like, it was on the shoulders of Zeus kind of rallying the team around it, you know. And then so he went back to Na'Vi, mainly for that same reason. Na'Vi was saying, like, we were missing that voice, that those words of encouragement. We needed someone like that on the team. So Zeus went back. Never really got to the level that I think people were hoping, but they still floated around top five consistently with them. So to see a player that's been around CSGO for a long time, on Na'Vi for a long time, kind of a staple of that organization, to call it quits is, you know, It happens. We don't see it very often anymore in esports, right? Like, you never have the full-on retirement. You always have the, I'm going to go play for a tier two team somewhere and just chill, right? Not take it as serious. So we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, for Zeus, I mean, legendary career. I'm so glad he got a major. You know, when he was cut from Na'Vi, he had pinned a tweet that said, and, you know, can we have a little R-rated moment here, but he goes, I'm not going to stop until I win a fucking major. And he pinned that tweet. It got a lot of attention at the time. And then he went to Gambit, you know, paired up with Mo, Hobbit, Adren, and really made a legendary run there. And that the moment that stands out for me throughout his career is that moment on Train. It was a save round for them. And rather than running out of spawn, they didn't have a timeout available. He had the whole team camp in spawn and gave like a emotional speech to them during a live round. You know, he made them all stand there, and they turned around and won that match and came back and won it, and then ended up in going on to beat Luminosity in the major. But, you know, for those that don't know, you know, Zeus was obviously on Na'Vi prior to this stint with Na'Vi, and they had several second and third place finishes in majors and were so close. So at least he got one under his belt. But yeah, going out as one of the best in-game leaders, definitely took a lot of slack for his fragging ability throughout his career, but still one of the, you know, the proven best at his position and what he did, especially what he's done for that scene.
Yeah, for sure. So again, that's his last tournament is this weekend, so that's definitely going to be emotional. You'll have that storyline there. Hopefully they can perform well, you know. At least he kind of gave a heads up. I wonder how long they've known. I wonder if the org has known much longer. Maybe they've been able to kind of take part of the post-major roster shuffle a little bit. Talking to players and everything.
There was like a story came out during the major that they had made a play for Quickert on Avangar. Like they had made him gave him an offer letter. He had rejected it to stay with Avangar. It looks like they had been looking to make a change, and maybe this helps move his process on a little faster, but I'm sure if he wanted to stay, they would have given him a little bit more time anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, either way, like we said, ending out in Moscow and everything like that is a good place for him to go. Man, what else with this major? There's so much going on. We've kind of already talked about a lot about some of the teams here, because now that we move into the semis, you do have Avangar versus Renegades. Avangar 2-0s them after a you know, double overtime on Mirage. Again, Dust 2, much like they did with Ents, proven that they were the better team on that map. I think this was a big map for either one of the teams, because to see either one of them in the finals is just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
This is, again, I don't want to constantly harp on the format. Look, no format is perfect, and you're always going to have a Cinderella story. For me personally, Cinderella stories are always entertaining until they get this far. Like, I want my Cinderella stories to end in quarters. You know, I really don't want Cinderella going home with the prince. Like,
you would have liked to see Astralis and Liquid on the opposite sides of the bracket.
Yeah, or even, Vitality made it to the finals. Or, you know, just, you know, I not to take away anything from Astralis, but I think it's okay. Maybe it's not, but I'm the one with the Knee Sports podcast. Thank you very much. To say that I tip my hat to Astralis. You are the best team in the world right now. You have four majors, three in a row. No one can take that away from you. But I think it's also okay to say that you won this one against Avangar.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately you beat who's in front of you. But yeah, there's like a little bit of a... This is not going to go down as an overly memorable finals, right? Like, people will remember Liquid losing early. People remember this as maybe them getting their back-to-back-to-back. But in terms of, like, the opponent and the actual matches themselves, there's not going to be, you know, I mean, it was a blowout in the finals, right? Like, I mean, there wasn't anything that stood out in the finals. Now, you know, the Astralis NRG matchup was one that I think a lot of people were looking forward to and hoping to get a little bit more out of that one. Again, Astralis just big boy NRG. I mean, their device did have the play of the tournament in that match. I don't know if you got to see that. It was around
the 3-3-3 play where three health, three kills on train.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So it was, wow. You know, just to set it up. It was on train. It was a 2v4 situation at the time. It was NRG planted the bomb. Device was sitting on back train side, on, you know, inside bomb train. He has three health, works his way down, you know, spots the first enemy. And I mean, you talk about three shots as clean as can be, headshot, headshot, headshot to end it. And that was it. Like, that was a wrap. That, you know, either if you want to give him a graffiti, go ahead. I don't know if it's necessarily graffiti worthy. I know there's been a lot of talk about it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk. I was about to ask you, like, graffiti worthy though?
I don't think so because it was like the it
play
set
of the major
tone.
Yes,
yeah,
graffiti worthy though. Graffiti plays have to be something that win you the major.
Like, don't give me the first round. Like, don't give me a pistol round first map first play.
Pistol round graffiti seems a bit cheap.
It does. it does. With that being said, still one of the best plays.
If it was like an eco round and he did it with a pistol, give the man graffiti. Around graffiti though, not really.
And you know, once it started off that way, it you know, kind of steamrolled from there. 16-10 on train, overpass. They took it 16-9. Device once again led the team overall rating. You know, just looks great, and you kind of saw, you know, just kind of moving on to the finals, you saw just a little bit more of the same. Once again, Device was dominant. That was kind of the theme throughout the playoffs. And everybody else played really well. Like, nobody played bad for them. Unfortunately for Jame, he played terrible during the finals. Like, it's something that I'm sure he's gonna want back. There weren't a lot of positives, you know, coming out of there. Avangar kind of got put in place, is what it felt like. And so, you know, I'm sure it leaves a little bit of a bad taste in their mouth. But for what they've accomplished, it's, you know, absolutely life changing for, you know, for those five guys, and they've worked hard to get to that point. But yeah, you definitely walk out of there feeling a little salty how that ended.
Yeah, kind of like, that's it, huh? That's what the big tournament of the year, like, it's hard to get hyped around it, right? Where, it, like, you knew what was going to happen. In fact, prior to the match, prior to the finals, I'm sitting there in the hospital with when was the finals? Was that Sunday?
Yeah.
So this would have been already after Baby was here. And I even put in Discord. I was like, I doubt Avangar gets more than 10 rounds. Like, I would, because someone said, like, I'll be shocked if they take a map. I'll be like, I'll go one further and say, I'll be shocked if they win more than 10. Now, They proved me wrong, so I guess, you know, I'm the dumb dumb. They won 11. So, but I mean, it was
the problem.
Complete
what
blowout.
Sucked is they lost them early. Like, it wasn't even, you know, they didn't take rounds on the first half. The first half was 12-3 on Inferno. You knew that was a wrap. There was no way Astralis was giving up that lead. And then 11-4 on Dust 2. So once again, I mean, it was so anticlimactic. You just were waiting for the ceremony. Fitting that this happened on Device's birthday. So what a way to celebrate, to have, you know, an audience of however many thousand were there sing to you and then do all that during the trophy presentation. Very cool trophy. So, you know, we can even move on from, like, Astralis 1. That's four majors for them in the last six. That's a three-peat, undisputed in my mind, best team of CSGO. It's really hard to argue that with what they've done over the last 2 years. And I think they have a lot more left in the tank. They're one of the youngest teams, I think average age of 24. So this team has the potential to win several more majors. And we'll kind of just have to wait and see how their story plays out. But yeah, congrats to them. It was a good event, I thought. I kind of want to talk about the event for a moment. Yeah, I mean,
like, that is a major stage.
It really was. That was probably the coolest stage I've seen.
We need to make a rule in Counter-Strike. There should only be fire allowed at majors.
Like, every time a bomb explosion goes off.
Like, I don't want to see fire at any Blast Pro Series. And I don't need you to trick up your non-major tournament with fire, okay? Let's save the fire for the major.
The stage was set up like a bomb site. I love that it was center arena.
Love the center arena stages.
Yeah.
That's the
it's
way
like the best. It's the way it should be. Yeah, for sure. And they had them in enclosed boots. I thought that was great to do
boots,
that.
Though.
They were not soundproof?
Because they were wearing the Bose headsets, which, by the way, expensive. Look that up. But they also had, so they had the Bose, the really nice looking soundproof Bose headsets, but then they were still making them have the in-game audio in like an in-ear headphones. Like, they were still doing the double headphone setup.
It looked like soundproof boots. Maybe that was more precautionary.
I like
but
the booths.
Yeah.
I like booths. You know, I have often said that I think every esports event should have soundproof booths, and then that way the players can just wear whatever normal headset they want and everything.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, but I've been told due to fire code that's not possible.
Stage was set up like a bomb site. They had like fire kind of shot around the whole stage. The trophy was posted up there in the middle where like the X for the bomb would be. So really, really neat setup. The trophy itself I thought was badass. The trophy had all the major winning teams on the bottom, similar to like you would see in the Stanley Cup or
something. I guess I missed
something.
That. It looked like a plastic, really... did it not?
It did. I thought that part, I wish it was like a chrome or not. Like, I wish it was like a chrome, like,
yeah, it kind of looked like matted plastic.
It did, but I loved all the major winners there on the bottom. I thought that was a really neat touch and just looked, it looked, I mean,
I wish we had a
big trophy.
I wish we had a major trophy, kind of like you said, the Stanley Cup or something. I don't like the major trophies being different every time and like, they're too big, too. Like, the way... Like, the Stanley Cup is a big trophy, but you can, like, hoist it over your head, and it looks cool. Yeah. These trophies, it's like, did you see them try to, like, lift it up?
Well, it broke again, and that didn't help.
No, that
never broke
helps.
The device picked it up at the end. It fell apart on the bottom, so... But, yeah, it was, like, awkwardly big. It took two of them to kind of pick it up. It's not, like, easy for one person to kind of have his moment, I guess you could say, but... Still, like... Nice trophy, but yeah, I mean, I could, whatever.
We need trophy
overall.
Reform in Counter-Strike. But overall, great, great event as far as aesthetic looking. Of course, the Observers we talked about last week. Observers kind of had their issues, kind of got the hang of it towards the end. I know they brought in some new Observers.
I thought it was fine in the playoffs onwards. I didn't,
yeah,
didn't
not
have
bad
any
at
major.
All. Not bad at all. Good overall CSGO major again is in the books. Can't wait for the next one, which is next year. And I know they already have them dated out. They don't know where, though. And I don't know. I forget. Spring 2020. That's what it is. So May, our next one is going to be May of next year. So we already have it dated, but we don't know where. I'm hoping NA. You know, let's bring it back.
It feels like it's been a little while.
It'd be convenient for us because we could probably go to it. So selfishly, I would like it to be in NA.
And I want time zones to be convenient.
New York would be it's very cliche to say New York, but it would be cool to see it in New York.
Knowing Valve, it'll be Shanghai. It'll be on a 2 a.m. over here.
Asian major for Counter-Strike. That would make a lot of sense. All right. So that's it. Let's close the page on that. Let's move on from that and get on to Yikes of the Week. We started this last week. It's basically moments throughout the week that made us go, yikes, yikes. I'll let you start.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted about this earlier, but my yikes of the week is Nip announcing Get Right's return. So
he's coming out of
Get Right.
He's coming out of retirement.
Will now be there for the next two tournaments, maybe three, I believe, until they figure out what they're going to do. But this became like a really awkward farewell tour, plus with all like the bad rep that Nip has been getting. Like, this whole thing has just felt weird. There was no acknowledgement of it during, you know, the major at any point. Like, all of this happened at Katowice.
You know what? I will give us credit, too. I'll pat ourselves on the back because we were the only show brave enough in esports to say that people were overreacting about Get Right's leaving. Like, we were the only show that were like, guys, he's not retiring. He's not dead. Like,
yeah, he's just going to another team.
Another team here. Like, let's
or not calm down. Or not at all. And right? That's why this is a yikes, because he is still there. It's like an awkward breakup, and they're just hooking up one last time. Like, just let's move on. Like, let's just go on. Let's see the next iteration of Get Right's career and go from there. But yeah, that to me is just
maybe
an awkward
they had to
look.
Keep him on the team so they could actually pay him. They didn't want him leaving the team and getting out all the dirty laundry. This is their way of being like, dude, stay on the team.
You own 10% of the team. Come on board.
Yeah, just convenient that he also gets ownership in the organization at the same time and says, no, I don't know what Flaren was talking about. They're great. Yeah, that's a big yikes. I don't know on whose part. I guess Nips. We'll give the yikes to Nip here.
Yeah,
or maybe the bigger yikes is to the CSGO community that just already took out Get Right to the back and put him down old Yeller style. Like, just, all right, it's time to go. My yikes of the week comes from the Overwatch community, which, by the way, if you ever need a yikes of the week, not a bad place to start. But this comes from Suzy Kim, of course, the former GM of the London Spitfire. She also worked with Cloud9 doing something for a little bit, but I think she's just out of esports at the moment. Or, you know, she's not like tied to an org. I could be wrong on that, but that's besides the point here. Also the wife of Monte Carlo, Monte Cristo. Monte Carlo's a car.
Monte Carlo.
By the way, I'll blame 1 hour of sleep on that one. Of course, he's a play-by-play guy, works with Overwatch League and everything there. So that gets you caught up to speed on who Suzy Kim is. Why is she part of Yikes of the Week? I'll tell you, because she didn't ask me anything, I believe, on the Overwatch League subreddit, or competitive Overwatch, on some Overwatch subreddit. She did an AMA, which, by the way, AMA stands for Ask Me Anything. That does not mean you have to answer everything. And if you choose to answer, like, this isn't like live radio or something. Like, you have time to type out, because like this thing is like 3 paragraphs long. She had plenty of time to type out what I'm about to say and then be like, oh, you know what? That sounds bad. Let me just not answer the question or word it differently or something. Okay. So she, and I don't even know what the question is. I got the screenshot from a buddy who sent me this. And he says, this might be good for Yikes of the Week. Which, by the way, if you have ideas for Yikes of the Week, moments in esports that make you go yikes, hit us up on the Center Ring at the Center Ring on Twitter or in our Discord, either one. So we'll give you credit, too, if you give us a good one here. But anyways, so she says, and I'll paraphrase because it's kind of long, I'm going to say something that might piss off some people. First off, again, you don't have to say it. Like, this isn't live.
Holding a gun to your head.
If you ever type out the words, I'm going to say something that might piss off people, then just don't say it. Just
Stop
delete it. Just don't stop typing at that moment. You don't have to keep going. She goes, I felt that while Pride Day at Overwatch League was really freaking awesome. Pride Day, of course, being, if people aren't familiar, because I think it's like a States thing, I don't know. It's a day where we celebrate pride, like gay pride, homosexual pride, whatever. They should have, so she goes, I think it was freaking awesome. They should have let the teams decide to participate in it and perhaps encourage the teams to do something special. Okay, that doesn't sound too bad. She continues, China and Korea definitely have different views when it comes to sexuality, gender choices, as do some other conservative countries around the world. And I didn't think that it wasn't right for Overwatch League, a global league, to officially celebrate it knowing that it would not be accepted in certain parts of the world. Yikes. Yikes. Don't get me wrong, she says, in before someone says I'm homophobic and anti-pride because I'm not. Again, this is all part of the same post. So not only did she already type, this might piss some people off, she also typed, in before someone says I'm homophobic or anti-pride. If those words are also said, if you have to say, in before someone thinks I'm homophobic, then maybe not.
Delete.
Hey, in before someone thinks I'm a racist, right? In before someone thinks I'm homophobic, because I'm not. Seeing Valiant with their patches, Spitfire with their pins, and other teams choosing to be involved to voice their opinions and support was fantastic. LA and London are places where openly supporting gay rights is accepted. I wish the whole world would be as open and as accepting, but unfortunately, that's not the case at this time. Now, I think this is also where it threw off a lot of people, because she also goes on to say that, like, look, over, because this is like a three-paragraph post. I'm not going to read it all, but that was the big yikes moment. She also went on to say, like, and I get her point. I get her point. It's just she chose the wrong hill to die on. Because she said, you know, in Overwatch League, they celebrated Mother's Day and Father's Day to the American calendar, right? They celebrate American holidays in the league. Well, it's a global league. Mother's and Father's Day falls on different days around the world. Maybe they should have a Korean day, like celebrate Korean Day or some Chinese holiday or things like that in the league to make it more global. That I agree with.
Not taking away, though.
But the fact that she said, like, I'm trying to see where she exactly puts it to, let's see. If the league is going to celebrate Pride Day, they should also celebrate other significant global holidays. Okay, so she's now put in Pride Day as a significant global holiday, right? So you might be thinking, okay, well, what other days are she going to bring up? Like Chinese Day or, you know, like some special Korean holiday that means a lot to people and fighting oppression and acceptance? For example, Mother's and Father's Day. Like, I think she's missing the point of Pride Day is not just to celebrate gay people. Like, it's not like, hey, man, go find your gay friend and give him a gift and say, I'm glad you're my gay friend. Like, that's what Mother's and Father's Day is for. It's, hey, Mom, I appreciate you. Thanks for everything you do.
They're fighting for acceptance. This is a little different, you know? Like, they're fighting for their equal rights, not glad you're a mom today. Good job.
Glad you're gay. Happy Pride Day. Like, those are not the same thing, Susie. They're not. And, of course, so now she's taking it in the shorts for this one. And it's just, it's a big old yikes for me, man, because you
double yikes. Cause you typed it.
You had plenty of opportunities to not type it and not say it. And then like you're doubling down on it. It's just again, I agree with the whole, hey, Overwatch League should celebrate all holidays or global holidays. But then to put in Pride Day and compare it to Mother's and Father's Day is just like, come again? What now? Don't think you really understood that. So those were the yikes of the week. Hope you enjoy them. Again, if you have any yikes of the week that you come across, let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring. Moving on to the last topic of the show, we have the Overwatch League playoffs. Quick update there, because it's still going on. Where as far as like we're actually in playoffs now. We're no longer in play-ins. Pretty much coming down to like how I said though, Vancouver and New York are just on another level, in my opinion. They are now in the winner's finals, which will be played out on the 13th. In my opinion, I think those are going to be the teams that you see in the grand finals, which will be pretty awesome. You had the Spark knocking out Seoul Dynasty. Very awkward moment in that, and it wasn't even in the match. It was afterwards. They interview the losing team right after the match as well, which, in my opinion, is weird. I know that's kind of different everywhere. Like, on Reddit, everyone was saying, like, well, in Europe, we do that with soccer. Maybe it's like an American thing where it's like, you don't really call the losing team out to the field. You know, you wait for the press conference or something to
it's not live on the field. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We do interview the losing players, but it's in a
press you give them some time site. To you kind of respect them. Right. It's like, dude, you lost. Like, go
you
take
put in a lot to get to that point and to realize, like, hey, your dream is kind of done right there.
Yeah. So they talked to some players in the post game and pretty much said, what do you want to say to your fans? And they just start breaking down. I wish I had time to cut the audio this week because it was so awkward. I mean, you know, it's not awkward for them to be emotional. I get the emotional part. It's just that, like, the camera is just, like, slowly zooming in and panning around them. It's just like,
they queued up Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, they just, the lights dim as people light candles in mourning for the Seoul Dynasty.
That's a pretty huge that shock loss, right? I mean, for them to fall into the loser's bracket.
You mean you Spark?
Know, or Spark. No, for, no, the no, Shock. No.
Shock did, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. So it is. It's shocking. Oh, the dad jokes are already a thing. Yeah, but you know what? Atlanta has been playing well too. And even then, the way the Shock were sent to the loser's bracket was the more unbelievable moment, as they had a true cloud nine moment. Like, on Rialto, final point. Two, like, whoever wins this game is now moving on, and the loser goes to the loser bracket. They C9 off the point. They had, like, four guys alive still. They just back off the point while Atlanta were still on it and lost. I mean, they C9'd off. There's no other way to describe it. They were all there and just, any C9 is just a communication F-up is all it is, right? But it's just, they left the point. And it was the most awkward, you know, it's like Atlanta is going nuts on stage. They can't believe it. And you just see San Francisco is just in a confusion. Because the thing with the C9 is you immediately want to blame someone, right?
Yeah.
Even though it's a team fault, everyone is like, who was supposed to be on the payload? Like, someone said that they were going to be on the payload and left. Who was it? And so you immediately want to yell at someone other than yourself. It is always someone else's fault for C9ing. But sure enough.
Well, now Atlanta is here in the loser's bracket with them, so we could see a rematch of that in round three coming up.
Yeah, you easily could, because on the 12th, you have the loser's round two coming up here, so just in 2 days. So probably by the time people start listening to it, probably tomorrow. But you have Atlanta versus the Spark. Again, I think Atlanta wins that. And you have LA Gladiators versus the Shock, which I think the Shock wins. So I think you're exactly right. I think you do see a rematch between Atlanta and San Francisco in round three. And then I think you're going to have Vancouver beat New York in the winter finals. And then New York will beat whoever in the losers. But you're just going to see Vancouver and New York. In the
and we'll get to do a breakdown of the, we'll get to do like a little pre-show, pre-finals, like,
of course, you know, I mean, we're going to be at the finals too. I'd want to remind some of our listeners, if you're in Philly, hit us up. We both Anuj and I will be there to watch the finals in person. So we'll do an actual proper Overwatch League playoff grand finals preview. It's just with the CSGO major, it just, you know, it's no knock on Overwatch League, but for us, CSGO takes priority, especially when it's a major, right? You don't get that very often. You know, Overwatch League playoffs, sure, you get it once a year, but still, it's, you know, it's, you kind of know. You know what's going to happen. And also, I don't know how to say this. I love Overwatch League.
You might regret it, but just say it.
I might piss some people off with this, all right? And in before somebody thinks I hate Overwatch, It really annoys me the way they do their patch updates, because we've said it before. Going into the playoffs, you add Sigma, which is a meta-changing hero, and now already in the PTR, they're updating Sigma to where now when he gets hacked, his shield goes away, right? So that's completely changing the way his character would be played or countered or used. So already, before the playoffs are even done, the hero that you added in before the playoffs is getting changed, or, you know, at least...
getting reworked to some extent.
Yeah, one of his abilities is getting altered a little bit, right? It's a kind of a Sombra buff.
But at that level, every change is like so crucial, and to not have that ironed out going into this is a little unfortunate, especially if we're about to see, oh, hey, this was like too overpowered. We're going to go ahead and correct this after the tournament's over, you know?
Again, I get it. There's no perfect time to patch a competitive game. Maybe then you just do it live, you know? Maybe you say, look, we're just going to roll with it, right? If a patch comes out, we roll with it. I don't know. I don't like that it seems like every time before playoffs, it completely changes the meta, because then we said it last week. It's difficult to even talk about it, right? Because you just don't know how teams are going to adopt to the double shield meta. And it's annoying. It's to me, it hurts the integrity of the league, of the playoffs. I mean, it's like, we'll talk about it in the grand finals, because right now it's like, I don't know. It's just, I don't feel like it's fair to the teams either. You know, it sucks even more to practice too, right? Like, you have these guys who, you know, they want to play the game in their free time. They're pros. This is what they want to do. This is what they want to play to become better at it. Yet the game that they're, unless it's like a closed off server scrim with other pros, right? The game that they're playing on regular servers are sometime a month or two behind, because they won't put patches in, like, unless it's like in between stages, right? It's just weird. It's weird. I know even like Zachary tweeted out something saying like, oh, Sigma updates are coming, you know? And I tweeted at him asking like, yeah, well, isn't it weird though that like for us it's coming, but for you, it's going to be completely different by the time you even get to play again. Like, what's the point? Yeah. And he said, he's like, yeah, he's like, there's definitely not a perfect system. He's like, I kind of wish it was different than what it is now, but what do you do, right? What's the fair way to do it? And the short answer is there's really not a right or wrong way to do it. But I don't like the way it is now. That's all I know. Let's get into some... Oh, that's the outro. That's E! News.
There we go.
That's the E! News bed that we all know and love. We won't end the show just yet. Not a whole lot of E! News to get to. We already mentioned Zeus is retiring in Dota. Or not Dota. League of Legends. Clutch Gaming reverse swept TSM to qualify for Worlds 2019. That was pretty nuts and also funny to follow on Twitter. Because... I don't know a lot about League of Legends, especially the pro scene, but it definitely seemed like people were pretty cocky on TSM.
see that happen is going to be quite shocking for that fan base, for sure.
To see the reverse sweep is pretty awesome. Call of Duty, Seattle is rumored to be the next COD World League team, the CWL. The CDL. CDL is what they're calling it now. So they are going to be the next Call of Duty League. Rumor that Luminosity might be the team owner or the team buyer or whatever, slot owner, whatever you want to say.
And kind of just to chime in on the COD part, we also have the beta coming up. So for those of you that are interested in checking out Call of Duty and you want to get a chance to play early, I think PlayStation 4 is coming up this week.
I think it's this week.
This week, and then everybody else is the following week. So... if you're interested, you can pre-order, or you can wait to hear what we think about it.
I don't want to be interested.
I don't know how I'm going to split time between that and WoW right now. It's not possible.
I'm
going to
be
moment,
a sucker, and I'm going to buy it every year.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it too.
Every year I buy COD, I'm like, why do I buy COD?
Yeah, I feel that. I'll be buying it though. I already know it.
Of course. And you know what? Yeah. With the 2v2 just works perfect for you and me, right?
Like, this is great.
We can just get on and crush it, embarrass people. So we'll do that.
We have a duty to our listeners to let them know what we think about these games. So
that's
we'll be in there and we'll let you know our thoughts.
At least that's what we're going to tell our wives. Terrible. when they ask why we buy it.
100% for the show.
Hey, we're you know, we're esports podcast. Like, what do you
do? We, what do you want expense that now?
For sure. For sure. Anything that we can do. Lux G official ended up winning the Halo Classic Championship, taking it to Game 7. Always fun to see Halo. Still waiting on that PC. It kind of seems like Halo PC, the news at least, kind of died down. So we're still waiting on that.
What's going on with that? Why isn't that out yet?
I don't know. They said,
fall, June.
Right?
No, it was supposed to be like June initially, and then they were like, okay, maybe
like
July.
For the beta,
then...
right? For like the first wave. But I thought said the game like was going to be out by like fall.
Which it's not out yet. No. It needs to be out.
No. And you got into the first wave, but it wasn't even like a real beta. It was like a horde just mode or something, you know? Like, who cares about that? Godsent is returning after merging with Final Tribe. I won't lie, I didn't know Godsent went away.
Either did I, but breaking news. So they're
breaking
back,
news,
baby.
Godsent was no longer a team. In other breaking news, Godsent's returning.
Pronax is like majority owner or something of that team.
Yeah, I don't know. I had no idea that they went away. I just thought they stopped being relevant, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And Thomas College Esports, never heard of them, but they announced the tryouts for its 2019 fall season semester for 6 different esports titles. League of Legends, Rainbow Six Siege, make note of that one, Rocket League, Fortnite, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and Overwatch. You will notice one game is not on that list.
Hmm.
That is CSGO. And they said due to bombing, terrorism, and gun violence. Now, I saw the headline because that was the headline of the article. And you know me, I'm very understanding of people's concerns about violent video games and esports in general, right? Like, I've often said it multiple times on the show that the reason my concern that Counter-Strike will never be as big as other esports is for that exact reason: bombing, terrorism, and gun violence. The fact that we call them terrorists and counter-terrorists, right? I'm not saying I believe in that. I'm just saying put yourself in normal mass media shoes, right? Like,
although Moses was saying offense, defense during the broadcast.
Really? Well, you know why, though? Because Anders, like 2-3 years ago, said that he was going to start doing it. So I bet you when they became broadcast partners, they probably said, what are we going to call them? And Anders did it for the exact same reason that I said. It's like, look, mass... Don't think... Take your personal opinion out of it and think of what the mass population would think of when you're like, oh, the terrorists blew them up. This is awesome, right? Like, for someone who doesn't know, a bit odd, a bit awkward. But
gun violence, I hear, is in... Isn't, what is Rainbow Six? Do you use your hands? It's hand-to-hand combat, right?
You just paint rainbows everywhere. You paint rainbows everywhere. Yes, that is my beef, right? So you're saying you're not going to do CSGO due to bombing, terrorism, and gun violence. Yet, all of those are also in Rainbow Six. Again, you just don't call them terrorist or counter-terrorist. Like, you still place a bomb. You still have gun violence. And again, you don't call them terrorism, but it's still people shooting each other, right? It's like FBI versus the military.
Terrorist.
Right, like whatever it is. It's still, you are still shooting people. So, I don't know. that's one where I'm like, okay, whatever you say there, Thomas College Esports, whatever you say. And in other news here, the last one, Razer co-founder is set to commit $7 million to develop esports in Singapore. So, for any of our Singapore listeners, here's your chance. This is it. You've been asking yourself. You've been blowing up the center ring on Twitter asking, guys, when is esports going to blow up in Singapore? Boom, right here.
Today.
$7 million coming your way. So don't say we didn't do anything for you. So that's, you know, still pretty cool, though. It's always nice to see you in a non-traditional esports market can get a bump like this, because you never know the ultimate effect that it may have, right? I mean, look at India. Like, they got all that money and afforded all those hacks and everything. So it's been pretty big for their esports scene.
I'm about to make the redemption story for him.
Well, that will do it here for this episode of The Center Ring. Episode 174 is done. It's in the books. Appreciate you for listening. It was a fun one, but boy, am I exhausted. I'm surprised I was able to get through it. I don't even know if what I said made sense. It all seems a blur to me, if we're being honest. But I know Anuj did wonderful. And I know you, the listener, are the greatest listener in the world. So thank you for listening. If you skipped around or listened to the whole darn thing, you're crazy. I love you. Let us know what you think of the show on Twitter at The Center Ring. If you listen via iTunes or anything like that, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the show, what you don't like. Hit us up with your yikes of the week. We want to hear them, the moments that make you go yikes. It can really be anything, too. We just like to have fun. We will be back next week, probably Sunday. Again, I'm always going to say anything with an asterisk now with a brand newborn as things get leveled out. But we will be back next week at some point to do a show. I'm Tim. For Anuj, we'll see ya.